The charity of the week.
We're finding out all this week about Manx eating disorder support, and we're joined by Georgie and Molly, who are telling us all about it. Georgie, this is clearly a very needed charity on the Isle of Man. I mean, how many people do you tend to get referrals from sort of across the year, or is that difficult to tell?
It's a difficult one because it wouldn't really sound much because we are such a small charity. But if we looked at it by broadening it out across the population, if we have more professionals, then I'd say it would be quite high. It's only because we're small that it doesn't look like we have many. And we don't do a lot of promotional work because we have a shortage of professionals able to see our clients. But generally, if people do need to see us, they will find us. They search online and they do a contact through the contact form on the website, or see the number, telephone number, and that we'll be able to be messaged or telephoned. But it is an increasing problem, that's what I would say.
And what sort of age range are more affected?
So it's more younger people, including those under 18, or we see the parents of people in that age group sometimes. But I'd say it's about half and half now between adults and younger people.
And Molly, I mean, we live in a world, don't we, now with social media, which I'm guessing plays a certain part in this, especially when you're thinking of young people.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the rise of social media has certainly had an impact, I think, on people's views on food, the body image, everything that comes with that. I mean, social media is just, everybody knows it's a highlight reel of people's lives. And I think if you're already susceptible to struggling with negative thoughts about yourself, then those sorts of things really don't help. So yeah, social media, unfortunately, it has its good, but it unfortunately also has its bad as well.
Well, I think because actually you can use it sometimes to gain access to support, can't you? But at the same time, especially for young people, the pressure they must feel online and then amongst their peer group, it's just not like it. Certainly, from Georgie, from our day, certainly wasn't like that when we were younger, was
no.
it? It's a different landscape now, isn't it?
Yeah, it certainly is.
Yeah. It's not to say that social media is to solely blame for the rise in mental health issues, but it certainly has a contributing factor, I think, because yeah, like I say, everyone's posting the best times, and reality is life is not like that.
Exactly. So if someone gets in touch with you as a charity, whether it's the person themselves or their family members, what does the sort of journey look like when they first get in touch with you? What would happen then?
So we'd arrange an appointment, and either the individual would have an assessment with our counsellor, and then we'd look at a number of sessions. We don't limit the number of sessions. We don't restrict the number of sessions. Everybody's different and everyone's needs are different. So for parents' support, then similarly, we would make an appointment. We have two volunteers who help with parents, which is great. And they have both lived experience, as in one of them is a parent herself. This helps on the journey to helping the parent understand more about what's happening with their loved one, and together they can get that support.
And the conditions that I suppose we most know the names of are probably bulimia, I'd imagine, anorexia. Those are the sort of the two, I suppose, that come to mind, but I'm guessing there's many other conditions as well.
Yes. So those are the most common, are the most well-known of the conditions, but we often have people coming who have symptoms of possibly one disorder, symptoms of the other disorder as well. So in themselves, they wouldn't be diagnosed with bulimia or anorexia. It would be a combination of the two. So yeah, not everyone is going to fit neatly into a category. It doesn't work like that. For example, one person could be binge eating for many years, and then they turn to purging behaviour, and then they will develop bulimia, unfortunately. Similarly, with anorexia, someone could be restricting their food. Possibly someone in school could be restricting their food, and before they know it, they're dropping weight and losing a lot of weight. And then eventually they may get a diagnosis that it could turn into anorexia, unfortunately, mm-hmm. where they've had a severe weight drop.
And obviously that sort of is sort of a visual clue, you know, if it gets to that level. But mm-hmm. I'm guessing, because it's obviously psychological conditions, isn't it? So as family members or teachers around young people or in the workplace, what are some of the signs that you'd be looking out for that you might sort of think that indicates there's a problem here?
Yeah, there's a change in behaviour. So the person could be more withdrawn, not engaging with friends as much, not taking part in activities they might have enjoyed previously, perhaps not going for meals out when they would have done previously, and just being more preoccupied and not having the same friendships that they might have done before. So it does have a wide impact, and it also has a physical impact on health too, with electrolyte imbalances. So we have to be very careful when people come to us that we ensure that their needs are managed. And if we can't manage their needs, then we will refer the person on, because it's really important that they have engagement with their GP, because they shouldn't just be managed by us on our own.
And, you know, as I said, we are talking about sort of essentially mental health issues sort of often lead to this. And we know that the Isle of Man struggles on this front with services that are available to people. And, you know, you're saying yourselves that you have professionals and psychologists who work with you. But I'm guessing as well, it is quite tricky, isn't it? Because it's a difficult landscape at the moment in that area, isn't it?
It certainly is. Yeah, we do struggle to recruit counsellors. Psychologists, but eating disorders are a very complex area. They're often can be a long journey for recovery. It's not a quick fix by any means. So we do hope to recruit more people in the future, so that we can offer more. We can give more. We can give more back to our community, because we want to. We really do. But without trained professionals, we can't. So yeah, that's one of our big wishes and goals.
So you never know, someone might be listening. Can they just get in touch with you if they think they might be able to help?
Yeah, absolutely. If anybody's listening that does want to join us, they can reach out to us through the website, they can reach out to us through Facebook. We pick up all those messages that come in those ways. So yeah, just reach out.
And Molly, as Georgie was saying there, it is a long journey, isn't it? Because it is psychological. But, you know, there is hope out there, because, you know, you can learn tools, can't you, which will enable you to sort of potentially live with these conditions, but be able to deal with them yourself and eventually be able to move away from having support.
Yeah, absolutely. There is life after struggling with an eating disorder. I have lived experience. So when I was younger, I really struggled. But now I'm 33. I'm a mum. I've come out the other side and recovery is possible. So, yeah, that's the message that I would want to put out there.
Yeah. Well, it's lovely to hear your story. What about you, Georgie? Why did you get involved with this group in the first place?
When I moved back to the Isle of Man from the UK in the late 90s, I realised then there wasn't really many services or any groups or anything like that. So in the UK, when I'd been struggling, I attended groups and I had appointments for support with my eating disorder, which was vital for me. It was absolutely, it was the start of a journey to recovery, and it's just what I needed. You know, I just can't thank them enough, all the people that I saw. And I just thought one day I just would really like to try and set something up in the Isle of Man. So we started small with a support group, but we soon realised that actually one-to-one support was going to be the best road for us. It was going to be what was welcome, most welcome, and having that privacy and time and space.
And it's obviously really helping people over here. And I'm sure you've seen people who've come through. And as you said, Molly, sort of come out the other side. And it must be really rewarding when you are able to provide that support and help.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually went to one of the support sessions years ago. So I have been one of those people that has come through and out the other side. And yeah, it's good to see. It's really rewarding to see that people benefit from the service we provide.
And I'm guessing there's sort of no typical person that has an eating disorder. It could be anyone, couldn't it?
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, it's portrayed in the media anorexia seems to be the one, the skinny, you know, the weight loss, all of that. But no, eating disorders come in all sorts of shapes and sizes. You have, like, the ones you mentioned before, the common ones, anorexia, bulimia, binge eating. But there's so many more out there these days that are not categorized like that. So yeah, it can impact people of all ages or genders. It's not just, I think a lot of people believe it's a female issue. It's not. Unfortunately, there are men that struggle as well.
And you mentioned as well, when we were chatting earlier this week, that there's myths around eating disorders. What are some of those myths?
As I mentioned there, you know, when you think, when people talk about eating disorders, I think people believe it's the anorexia stereotype, but it's not. That's not the case. You can have somebody who sits at the other end of the weight spectrum that struggles. You can have somebody that looks normal that struggles. Eating disorders are not always presented physically. As well, the gender stereotyping, that's a big myth that it's really only females. Unfortunately, over the years, it has been portrayed as being a female illness, but that's not the case at all. Like I said, men struggle as well. Yeah, I mean, the myths are, the ultimate myth busting is that anybody can struggle, any age, any gender, any background. Eating disorders impact everybody, so...
And as you say, the impact, as we've talked about this week as well, they do impact the families of people and friends as well in a big way. And that's quite an interesting point on this, because it's you have to be very careful with the language you use, don't you, with someone who is struggling. I mean, if you do know someone that you think might have an issue, how do you actually broach it with them, and how do you raise it? You think they have a problem, and maybe encourage them to speak to people like yourselves?
I would say to really come alongside that person and... have some of that empathy with them, not highlighting it in a big way, but asking how they're feeling, if they want to have a chat, but obviously being not in a threatening way, or trying to, as if you're trying to manage that person. It's really coming alongside them, is how I describe it. Imagining yourself in their shoes and what they're going through, and saying that you will be with them. Just sometimes that's a start, that you'll be with them and you want to be there to help them, support them and get some help, rather than it being, especially if it's a young person, rather than you will do this, or, you know, trying to treat it like that. That's never going to work.
One of the things about eating disorders is people believe it's about food, whereas food is often the coping mechanism. So if somebody is struggling, it's important for them to seek help, but for them mainly to try and identify what the underlying issue is. It could be stress, it could be school, it could be family, it could be so many things. But quite often the food side of it is the sort of like external thing that people see, and how that individual then feels like they're in control of what may be another issue in their life. Try and remember that the problem, although it's an eating disorder, the problem is not actually always about the food.
And we talked as well about the fact that you have a fabulous group of volunteers that help you. What do the volunteers sort of do? What are some of their roles? And if you're trying to encourage someone else to help, what might you be looking for?
Well, there's things like administration, admin work. We have committee meetings, writing up minutes. We have a treasurer that does their work, but any assistance is always appreciated with tasks, the various tasks that make up all these roles. Also on events, future events, possibly fundraising events, volunteers are always very welcome, and any ideas as well, we're always welcome for any ideas on that front.
And it is Eating Disorders Awareness Week, obviously, Molly, and one of the things you do is raise awareness. And I think you work with the schools, don't you, to an extent?
We're starting to, yeah. We're actually going into one of the schools during Eating Disorder Awareness Week to do a talk about it, which is one of the first times we've been invited in. So if all goes well, it's something that we're hoping to be able to do to the other local schools, because quite often that's where issues start. I mean, schools are, you know, when you're going through puberty and teenage years, that's typically when eating disorders do sort of begin to rear their heads. So by going into the schools and doing these talks, we're hoping that raising that awareness will be able to prevent it becoming as serious as it could be.
Well, thank you for doing what you do. We really appreciate you for doing this and being here on the Isle of Man for people. Just remind us again how people can get in touch and what they would do if they know someone or they think someone might be struggling.
So if people want to find out more, they can visit our website, which is manxeatingdisordersupport.com. You can also find us on Facebook, and you can get in touch by phone, which is 330922, or you can email info@manxeatingdisordersupport.com.
The Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.